We're going to scroll down here, and I'm going to actually bulk a few of these together. So, for instance, saying the Mass, consecrating bread, turning wine into blood, the Eucharist, all of those are really talking about the same thing. Also, Mary interceding and praying to the saints kind of are together as well. So I'm going to bulk group those together down below as well. So this first one is saying the Mass, consecrating bread, turning wine into blood, a Eucharist. Now, this is obviously foreshadowed in the Passover, a perpetual ordinance that one had to partake of in order to be in the covenant. So, you know, if you were a Jew and you didn't like lamb, God, I just don't want to eat it. You were out. Like, you had to partake of the lamb. It was a perpetual sacrifice. It was a memorial sacrifice. And this kind of memorial meant more than just remembering, right? When the Jews would eat the Passover, they don't say when the Lord took us out of Egypt many, many years ago, it says when the Lord brought me out of Egypt. It takes the past and makes it present. And so too, the Eucharist, it makes the once for all sacrifice of Christ present. We do it because Jesus said to do it. He said, do this in remembrance of me. He actually didn't say to write anything. In fact, Jesus didn't write anything but one thing. The only thing we have record of him writing, and the scripture writer doesn't even let us know what it was. It's just that he knelt down and fingered in the sand when they brought him the woman caught in adultery. And he writes it on the ground that people are going to walk over, the wind's going to blow over, and that was it. But he does give commands. Do this in memory of me. Go and baptize and teach, right? So we do it because Jesus says, this is my body. He doesn't say, this is a symbol of my body, or this is a symbol of my blood. And in fact, this is the only time he mentions the blood of the new covenant or the new covenant at all. This is the unique time in the context of the Passover meal, when he himself, we know, is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And of course, the lamb was the crucial part of the Passover meal that you actually would eat. And incidentally, some people have pointed out they leave rejoicing before the Passover meal is done. So they're singing the Hallel Psalm, which means they probably left before they ate the lamb. But they would have eaten the bread that Jesus gave to them. And the bread, he said, was his body. And we just take him quite literally. Now, we can talk a lot more about this if you want. This is one of those topics that there's just an inexhaustible wealth. But you have to admit, at the very least, the surface reading favors the Catholic position. Jesus says, this is my body. This is my blood. If you go to John 6, the latter half of John 6 is the whole discourse, the bread of life discourse. And in that bread of life discourse, what we see is Jesus says over and over and over again, you must eat my body and drink my blood, or you do not have life in you. And at one point, they understand him, the Jews understand him figuratively. They say, this doesn't make sense. Isn't this the carpenter's son? And he just keeps repeating himself. And they start to understand him literally. How can this man give us his flesh to eat? And then he goes so over the top, literal. The word in Greek he uses is trogon, which literally means to gnaw, to chew, to masticate, to bite between the teeth. Unless you chew on my flesh, you have not life in you. And so he says this over and over again. And then famously, and I always remember this one, I'm a Catholic. Catholics don't know their Bible, but this one always stands out. John 6:66, verse 66. Many of them left him over this teaching, saying it was a hard saying. People have a hard time understanding how you can give your body and blood. But at the same time, you know, if you were a person in the time of Jesus and you saw him walking down the street, you would have had a very hard time understanding that this guy in front of you, the carpenter's son, is God incarnate. In fact, my gut says if you were to, you know, go poke him with a needle and take a drop of his blood, put it under a microscope, you wouldn't see God particles floating around in there. Doesn't mean he wasn't God. It just means he was God incarnate, right? And so when we receive the Eucharist, you see it's the same thing. I don't see anything about this that makes it look like more than just bread and wine, but I trust Jesus when he says, this is my body, this is my blood. And so did the entire early church. Thus we see, you know, as early as Acts 2, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship and the breaking of the bread and prayer. That breaking of the bread is the Eucharist. They did it regularly. In fact, Jesus meets the apostles or the disciples that are on the road to Emmaus, and he breaks bread with them. And I love that passage. If you ever get a chance to read it, if you haven't, I'm sure you have. But in that passage, they don't recognize him. They're kept from understanding who he was until he breaks bread with them. And then what it says was he vanished from their sight. It doesn't say he left them. It says he vanished from their sight because he was still there with them. And they recognized him in the breaking of the bread, in the celebration of the Eucharist. Paul is emphatic. And he says this in 1 Corinthians 11, I received from the Lord what I delivered to you, that the Lord on the night that he was betrayed took the bread. And when he gave thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. me. In the same way, also the cup after supper, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of profaning the body and the blood of the Lord. That basically means you're guilty of murder. Therefore, let a man examine himself, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment upon himself. I think that's as clear as you need to be, right? Paul is absolutely, emphatically clear here, that the Eucharist is the body and blood. And in fact, he even says people are receiving unworthily, and that's why many of them are weak, ill, and even dying. Now, is this literal death? Is this spiritual death? I don't know. We do know some people, like was it Ananias and Sapphira, was that who it was? In Acts, is it Acts 6, I think it is, were caught lying and keeping money back. And for that, the Holy Spirit struck them dead because they were lying to the Holy Spirit. And Peter denounces them, right? So this could have been physical death. It doesn't mean it always is the case that people physically die. Just like the Ark of the Covenant in the Old Testament, you weren't supposed to touch it if you weren't a Levite. And the Philistines captured the Ark at one point, and they're not all struck dead, though a plague of, I believe the word in the English translation I've seen that's really funny is hemorrhoids, but some sort of a bulbous cancer or whatever was upon them, and then they returned it, but it didn't strike them dead. But there was a man who wasn't a Levite named Uzzah, and at one point the Ark is falling. I think this is in Samuel, and he reaches out to stab the Ark and is struck dead for touching it because he wasn't supposed to touch the Ark because he was not a Levite. So we know that at least sometimes God does that. Doesn't mean he always does, but does mean he does. So there's that. So to answer your question up here, you know, saying Mass, consecrating bread, turning wine into blood, a Eucharist, this is what the early church did. I can find you first century documents from people, including, you know, Clement of Rome, who is mentioned by Paul in his letter, Ignatius, who was a bishop of Antioch, trained by St. John himself and appointed as bishop in Antioch by St. Peter himself, speaking of the Eucharist. And being insistent that it is the body and blood of Jesus. It's actually Saint Ignatius in the end of the first century, beginning of the second century, who's our first written recording of the word Catholic. But he doesn't use it in a way where he's like saying, I'm hereby defining this church that we belong to as the Catholic Church. No, he's simply saying, you know, wherever the bishop is, you know, there's the Catholic Church. That's what he's saying. Yeah, he's just using it like it's a word that everyone understood, because it was. And the word Catholic just means universal.